Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to share credit when presenting, part one. The questions this cast answers are, how do I properly credit others' work? Why should I credit other people? And what's the worst way to accept credit for your own work?
Hey folks, this is not really an ad. I'm just going to give you a public service announcement and maybe a teeny bit of a tease, which we actually almost never do. And that is to tell you it is now February, and we are 99.9% sure that the MT Disk product, known internally here as Prestwick — all of our internal projects and systems are named after golf courses, go figure — will launch in March. I'm going to have more details in coming podcasts about price and what it does and what it is and why you should get it, even if you've already gotten a disk from us. If for no other reason than our price will be roughly a third of what it used to be.
Andrew, this came out of something we hear so often, which is, what can I do about my boss stealing my ideas and presenting my work as his own? And the answer is, get promoted twice, because we can't do anything about the way your boss behaves.
And that's right.
It doesn't matter. There is nothing that you can say or do that will change that behavior if that's what your boss does. There are reasons sometimes for them doing it, and actually giving appropriate credit is harder than you might think it is. As I discovered when I started to write this and then realized there were all these different situations, and what you might say in different situations is quite difficult. So in this cast, we're going to talk through those situations and the things you might say and the things you might consider so that you aren't the one who steals other people's work or gets credit for other people's work, and you can stop the rot, as it were, with your boss.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to further or even start to build relationships.
Absolutely.
This is a really helpful tool.
And it's also a really good place to ruin relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, when you steal someone else's credit.
Totally. All right, our outline for today is, number one, always share credit. Number two, we're going to talk about some situations. Situation number one is when someone's just doing their job, okay? Then we'll get into situation two, which is exceptional effort. We'll also talk there or in between those two about some political considerations that you might want to think about. Number three is when it's your idea, but others gave input. Number four is when it's all their work, okay? And then number five is what not to say. That's a great part to pay attention to. So let's get there.
We should get there fast. Okay. So the first part, the overriding message we want you to hear is always share credit. Because sharing credit for work that's been created or completed or even in progress is essential if you want to maintain the relationships that you've carefully built. And seeing as we talk about careers being built on relationships, results and relationships, practically every cast, you can tell that relationships are incredibly important. And so to do something that builds relationships or furthers them, and on the opposite side doesn't destroy them, is really important. And when you don't credit someone for the work that they did, they assume, unfairly probably, that you're doing that deliberately, that you intentionally took credit for their idea or took credit for their work or didn't say, oh, this person helped me. And they think it's you're trying to prevent them getting the credit, when actually it's actually more difficult than you might think to find the right words and the right time and the right kind of level of credit and so on. And in the vast majority of cases, that's not what's happening. Somebody is not trying to deliberately exclude someone from the credit. They are just awkward around the right words.
Yeah. Presenting is hard enough, right? Mm-hmm. And then trying to work in all of the other bits. And yeah, you want to share credit, but you're always worried about, you know, does this person, and we're going to talk about some of this, right? Does this person want to hear their name in this presentation? Is this the right time to mention their efforts? Those types of things.
Yeah. Sometimes somebody helped you out and their boss will be mad that they helped you out when they should have been doing something else. That, you know, you have to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've ever had to present work that's been done by a group or you know, a team, and you want to credit everyone fairly, you'll realize that it's very, very hard to do, right? And so it's not like school, right? In school, there was a clear set of rules of, you know, citing your sources and giving credit for, you know, words that you use or excerpts that you insert. The real world is far more messy, and there's a lot more gray area. And it's not usually that someone's being selfish that prevents them from giving credit. It's just often, and just like a lot of things that we talk about, often it's just the inability to find the right words to express yourself in a way that's concise and that's measured and balanced and is proportional to the amount of effort that they contributed. You certainly don't want to oversell, right?
Yes.
And then it loses its impact or its value, but you don't want to undersell either. And so there's a really fine line there.
And just because something's difficult doesn't mean we shouldn't at least try to do it. And if you don't give credit to other people, you will soon garner a reputation for being selfish and prideful and not a team player. And that reputation, whether it's deserved or not, makes developing, maintaining relationships more difficult. And if you have fewer relationships, it makes results more difficult to attain. So it's as well to learn the skill of giving others or sharing credit.
Yeah.
And sharing credit, as we've said, is a relationship builder. And it really is a skill of being able to say the right words at the right time in the right way. It's not something that you can't learn. It's absolutely a skill you can learn. So that's what we're going to tell you today.
Yeah. So to help you understand what to say and when, we're going to give you a scenario and three levels of contribution that other people have made, and then we'll tell you exactly what to say. So in each of the following situations, you're presenting the results of a new product development project. The presentation is to your boss, his boss, and their peers. You'll be covering the idea, the product, the issues that you had in development, the current status and hopes for the future. All the people that worked with you will be in the room. Are you ready? Here we go.
Okay, so situation one is just doing their job. So in this situation, the contribution is understood by others without explanation because the work done falls within a person or a team's normal remit. So you only need to give credit if the people went above and beyond. So we'll talk about what that means in a minute. But if others would say, oh, they were just doing their job, then it's not necessary to specifically mention them in the presentation. It might be smart to do so, which we'll get to in a second, but it's not necessary.
Yeah. So in our product development project, for example, we might have asked the finance team to run the numbers on the product's expected profitability. If there's only one person in the finance team and profitability scenarios are within their normal job description, right? That's what they do. It's clear that finance team is that one person doing their job, right?
So we wouldn't mention them specifically. We'd say finance team ran some numbers.
Exactly. We might have run the product through a standard testing procedure, something that's always done by the same group, the same team, in the same way, with more or less the same amount of effort, right? That's a standard thing. Everyone there understands that that team does that work as a matter of just the normal course of doing business. We might have had to design instructions, right? Another part of the process done by the same team, the same way, with roughly the same amount of effort each time. Again, it's understood that generally that team does that work and that's part of their normal daily activity.
So in the presentation, when you say the finance team ran the numbers to ensure profitability or our testing team ran the usual tests, the people in the presentation understand the level of effort because they know this is what we do. You know, they understand right. that if you're in the doctor's office and you have a 10-minute doctor's appointment, then we all know what the doctor did roughly in the room, even though we're standing outside the room. We don't know exactly what they did, but we roughly know how hard they were working inside the room.
Absolutely.
And so in this case, we'd only talk more about the contribution of others if their effort went above and beyond what was ordinarily expected or understood.
And some of you may be listening and think, well, that seems counter to the first point we had, which was always give credit, right? When we gave that guidance, that was the first point of this cast. However, giving credit to everyone all the time for just doing their job devalues the credit that you give to others when they did make a significant contribution. That's kind of the line that we were talking about earlier. This is an important point here. It's the magnitude of the contribution versus what the audience or the listener would ordinarily assume the size of the contribution to be. That's what drives whether or not you give credit.
It's like if you go to a hotel and you check in and you go to the room and the room's clean and the bed's made and, you know, the bathroom's clean and so on. You wouldn't say, oh my gosh, this hotel was amazing. They did really good work. Because that's what you expect. Whereas if you went into the hotel room and there were chocolates on the pillow and a bottle of champagne and the towels were made into those fancy shapes, when you came home, you might say, oh, the hotel was amazing because they did all this extra effort. It's that difference that makes the difference as to whether or not you talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. Small example of that is recently I found myself in a hotel room that had a fireplace in it, which was exquisite. It was amazing. And it just the fact that it was there was enough. But when they did turndown service, they came in, peeled the covers back, and just the normal stuff, little chocolate on the pillow. They lit the fireplace. So when I came in, the fireplace, I was just like, this is amazing.
This is heaven. Yes.
This is so good.
Yes. And if you ever want to stay at the best place with fireplaces, it's the Spanish Bay Hotel at Pebble Beach. And
yes,
it has the best bathrooms in the world. There's a lot of above and beyonds there.
Yeah, there were a lot of great things about there, about that hotel.
Yeah. So back to our product development instead of our memories of staying in the hotel.
Right.
If the standard testing procedure that the new product went through is the same as every other product, and this is the procedure that is carried out fairly regularly, then the person or the team that does that work doesn't need to be especially credited. The presentation attendees already know how much credit to give, and they do that automatically in their own minds. So we don't need to give that credit again because it's already happening because they're just doing their job.
Absolutely. And there's a good analogy here. If you think of like a chef, right? A chef doesn't give credit to the person who peeled the potatoes in their, you know, award-winning dish, even though it couldn't have been made with potatoes with the skins on, right? The dish is the chef's creation, and the preparation and assembly, that's what the kitchen staff are there to do. No one eating that dish would assume that that chef did all of the work leading up to that dish, right? And in fact, I would say it would even be odd if you heard the chef say, and really, you know, big kudos to the person who peeled the potatoes. Yeah. It just seems, right? It would seem odd.
It would.
And a further point would be, if they did do that, what would the person who chopped the onions feel like? Right?
Yeah, we could be there for the entire week.
Yeah.
Well, he named
the delivery driver who drove the produce in. I mean, how far do you go?
Exactly. And we're spending some time talking about why you don't credit people who are just doing their job. But on the flip side, if you contributed to a project or a task or something that somebody else is later talking about and it was part of your normal remit, this is why you're not getting credit. It's not that somebody is intentionally leaving you out. It's because it's part of your job and the person they're talking to is giving you that credit in their own heads. So we don't need to say it out loud. And of course, there's some political considerations if you're not going to give credit. Like, you might decide to give credit to people who don't deserve it, quote, if you wish to develop or maintain a relationship. It doesn't stop you giving more credit. It just sets a floor below which you can't go because it's none. But we want to start from that floor. So, for example, you might want to give credit to your boss for allowing you to run with a pet project, even though they did nothing else and letting you do things is part of their job. But it's smart to say, thanks, boss. I know you gave me some leeway here and I appreciate it because then later they'll let you do it again.
Yeah.
It's always smart to credit your boss with things, even if you think it's part of their job.
Exactly.
Hey, folks, just to mention, We continue to get requests for more virtual events, and we're starting to get more requests for client events. If you're a manager or a senior manager or a director or an executive, and you're thinking about sending some of your folks to a conference, a public conference, consider the value of perhaps having us come to you, either in person or virtually. It's actually cheaper to do an in-person gig if there's about 12 or 13 people. And we oftentimes see people wanting to bring more people than that to a public event. And it's actually cheaper, and we get to tailor our work if we come to you. So effective manager, effective communicator, effective hiring manager, all of those available remotely or virtually as well. So reach out to Maggie at manager-tools.com and she can get you sorted.
The next situation that we're going to kind of run through is when someone does give exceptional effort. It's right to give credit if the person has done exceptional work, going above and beyond their normal job. We said we were going to get to this, right? So that acknowledgement or that credit is not something that the audience is going to automatically give that person in their mind. They won't assume that that person went above and beyond. And so if, for example, in our hypothetical here, if new product testing is an unusual occurrence for your company, one where the majority of the attendees in this presentation would not know who did it or, you know, what they would need to do or the level of effort required, then we would want to give special credit for that. We would want to make sure that their work was recognized in public, right? So for example, the product sales team turned their hand to product testing for us. Denise created a battery of tests, and the rest of the team spent several days trying to break what we created. The resulting product was much better for their work.
It's a credit for the fact that they did something, that they're a sales team, they're not a testing team. And so they have to do something that's extraordinary, is different from, and it may be that those people really enjoyed that work, you know, or they were enthusiastic about being able to break products, mm-hmm. which is what you try and do in testing. Although in my experience, testing is much more boring than you think it might be. But they might have been excited about it. They might have wanted to do it. They might have seen it as something out of the ordinary for them to do. But that doesn't mean any of that doesn't mean that you don't give them credit. The fact that they stepped outside of their normal role and the people who are listening to you don't know that they did it, that's what drives you giving the credit.
Yeah, I would certainly hope that someone having a, you know, a go-getter attitude about doing something outside of their normal scope of work wouldn't be a reason you don't share credit, yes, exactly. right? That's a good thing. You want that, right? So there's another example here, which is you could say something like, Liam helped enormously here. He created the first draft of the product test plan. He integrated everyone's comments and he ensured that all of the test scenarios were completed at least twice, right?
So this is an example of calling someone out, specifically one person, but at the same time, because you're presenting a series of like, this is what we did for this product, mm-hmm. it's sort of integrated in the sense of you're describing the process at the same time as giving Liam credit for doing that part of the process. So it's much less awkward than what some people try to do.
Absolutely. And we're going to give examples, you know, in sequence, right? One after the other, but these would be spread throughout the presentation, right? At the appropriate time, right? When you're talking about the product test or coming up with the plan, that's where you would add that Liam helped enormously, right?
Yeah, you don't leave it right to the end and then just do a list of credits. Oh, we're not watching a movie.
No. Another example would be Charlotte helped us with all of the admin around managing the test scenarios and recording the results, right? That's huge. That's a very helpful task, but often goes unnoticed or unrecognized.
Yeah, especially admin stuff. And it may be that Charlotte is an admin anyway and does other admin work, but this is special. It's outside of her normal work. Or it may be that Charlotte's normally a project manager and she went to the effort of being the one who did all the drudge work of doing the admin.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter which extraordinary kind of circumstance it is, the same words and the same amount of credit suffice.
Exactly. Yeah. As we just mentioned, again, these are going to be sprinkled throughout your presentation as it makes sense, right? As is logical throughout the presentation. And we're not putting a last slide or list together at the end that says, you know, thanks to these folks for this thing, right? There's like a table.
No animals were harmed.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing that. There is a note here that's important to think about DISC, right? When we talk about results and relationships a lot. And with relationships, we often will refer to DISC because it's a very helpful way to build relationships and understand other people's tendencies in terms of their communication and behaviors around communication. And so there's an important point here. Some profiles, some folks are not going to want to be or prefer to be praised in public. We recommend that you honor their wishes, right? So those people who, you know, wouldn't want to be called out or don't want the spotlight shined on them, don't do that, right? Don't do it in public, but maybe in private, make sure you're sharing with them how much you appreciated their work, right? And how much you, you know, valued their contribution to the project or to the effort.
Yeah. And you do want to honor their wishes. And so maybe you give them kind of that fulsome, you know, sincere appreciation in private, but also there's a public part of this in that you're presenting in public. And so that kind of goes past one person's preferences, because the presentation is about the audience, not one person. And so if you, let's say Liam, who we talked about earlier, is really doesn't like the spotlight being shone upon him, it's okay to still say, and you should say, Liam helped us enormously here, blah, blah, blah. Because if you don't, he doesn't get the credit for the work he's done. And that's not fair on him. Later on, you know, if he gets into his annual review and he says, I did all this work, and your boss is like, well, nobody talked to me about it. So, you know, now it doesn't exist, kind of thing. And also, the people you're presenting to have to understand how many people it took to do this project. If they assume, because you don't mention Liam, that the level of effort is low, then you're going to be asked to do it again. Nobody's going to let you have Liam to help you. And now you're trying to do a project with one less person.
Right. At that point, I would think of it less, and you may be saying the exact same words, but I would be thinking of it less of sharing praise or giving credit and more of just a explanation of resources.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's kind of two things there. You don't need to, you know, say Liam was a total star and I couldn't have done it without him, which is probably what you would say for a high eye. But on the other hand, don't miss it out altogether and give a skewed impression of the resources that were used.
Right, exactly.
So we've given you two situations so far. We will leave you with those to consider. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about when it's your idea, but others gave input, or when it's totally somebody else's work. So you can think for the next week about what we might say, and then we'll see if you're right. We'll be back next week with the second half.